And well, how's everyone doing this morning? Come on, give God some praise. You guys can have a seat. If you're joining us for the first time, if you're joining us online, we're in a series called Fearless, not Fearless, because we've been understanding that it is impossible to live a life where you're fearless. And one of the misconceptions about being a Christian is that Christians should never be afraid. Now, the Bible says, do not be afraid. But nowhere in the scriptures does the Bible say, do not feel afraid. And there's a big difference between being afraid and feeling afraid. When you feel afraid, it's an emotion. But when you are being afraid, it's a way of life. It's a lifestyle. It's a practice. It's a habit. It's a behavior. So this whole series has been designed to help you fear less in your life, because I'm sure that if you're here listening to the sound of my voice, there are some of you right now that are facing some situations that right now have you pretty fearful. So this morning, as we go on in our third week now of this series, we're going to be talking about the fear of your past. Now, how many of you, by a show of hands, have a past? You know, all hands should be up right now because all of us are here in the present. If you pretty much were around yesterday, then yesterday was your past. So one more time, how many of you have a past? All right, now with the other hand, how many of you have a past that you're ashamed of? How many made some bad decisions in your past, some things you regret, you're living under some condemnation? And how many of you right now can say amen if there's some things about your past you feel it's hard to get over, even though you know it's over and God has forgiven you? The devil seems to remind you of your past once in a while. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. All right, so this sermon is for you today. Let's pray. Father, bless this word in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Father, that you would help us to understand how to fear less when it comes to our past. Help us to understand what the past is there for, how we can use our past, no matter how bad it may be, to be a blessing to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis chapter 28, verse 15. I want to go there first. It's just one verse I'm going to read here, and then we're going to jump to another story. But I want you to understand something. In Genesis chapter 28, beginning at verse 15. What more? Notice what God said to this man named Jacob. Now, just a little history here. Jacob just finished lying to his dying father, betraying his twin brother and stealing from him, running away from his family, and in selfishness, he really messed up the family. Can anyone say, I relate to some of Jacob? What more, he said, God said this to Jacob. I'm with you. I will protect you wherever you go. Now, why did God say, I will protect you? Because there were some people out there that wanted Jacob dead because of what he did. And I hope that's not you today. But God said, I will protect you wherever you go. One day, can we just shout, one day? One day, I will bring you back. And I want to say this right now to someone, I don't know who you are, but you will come back. You will make a comeback. Can we just praise God for that right now? Because we serve a God of comeback. He's talking to someone that has just made a bad decision that we can relate with. Someone that has hurt the family, which we can also relate with. And God appears to Jacob and says, one day you will come back. I will not leave you until, I love this part, I have finished giving you everything I've promised. You know what God says here, Jacob? I know you messed up. I know you're selfish. You hurt your family. You stole. You lied. You betrayed. But Jacob, in spite of what you've done, I already knew you were going to do it. And I have a plan for you, Jacob. And God is a God that will finish what he started in your life. No matter how you've distracted yourself, no matter how you've gone off course, God says, I will finish what I have started. Because if there's any lie the devil tells you, is that what you did yesterday has completely disqualified you and God can no longer finish what he started. Let's go to a story now, Genesis 31. Later on, Jacob, he meets his wife. He has a father-in-law named Laban. Laban adopts Jacob into the family. The life is awesome now. He's being blessed. He has a great family. He has kids. He has a marriage that's great. He has a father-in-law that loves him. Everything is great. But notice what happened. But Jacob soon learned that Laban's sons were grumbling about him. Because Laban's sons were a little jealous of Jacob. And they started telling Laban lies about Jacob. Jacob has robbed our father of everything. Wasn't true. He has gained all his wealth at our father's expense. Not true. Verse 2. Notice, and Jacob began to notice a change in Laban's attitude towards him. So the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your father and grandfather, to your relatives there, and I'll be with you. So God tells him, Jacob, it's time to leave. It's time to leave. Notice this. So Jacob called Rachel and Leah out of the field where he was watching the flock. I want you to see something in verse 17. So Jacob put his wife and children on a camel and he drove in all his livestock in front of him. He packed all his belongings he had acquired. And notice this, he set for the land of Canaan where his father Isaac lived. So he's going back home. At that time they left, Laban was some distance away. Shearing his sheep, Rachel stole her father's household idols and took them with her. Jacob outwitted, notice this is where the story gets crazy. Jacob outwitted Laban, the Aramean, for they set out secretly. And he never told Laban they were leaving. Now, God never told Jacob to leave this way. God just told him to leave, but Jacob, being Jacob, outwitted him secretly and never told him, I'm leaving. Wouldn't you agree it's a little messed up? Someone that took you in, someone that you're married to their daughters, you just pick up late at night and you just vanish without a trace. But here's Jacob's problem. He's self-centered. He's selfish. So Jacob took all his possessions with him, crossed the Euphrates River, heading for the hill country of Gilead. Now notice what happened here. 3 days later, Laban was told that Jacob had fled, so he gathered a group of his relatives and set out in front in hot pursuit. He caught up with Jacob 7 days later in the hill country of Halil. But the previous night, God had appeared to Laban and said in a dream, and he told them, I'm warning you, leave Jacob alone. Don't you love how God stands up for you? He says, I'm warning you, leave Jacob alone. Laban caught up with Jacob. As he was camped in the hill country of Gilead, he set up his camp not far from Jacob. And lastly, I'm going to stop in the next verse. What did you mean by stealing away like this? Laban demanded, how dare you drag my daughters away like this as prisoners of war? Why did you slip away secretly? So Jacob left and Jacob wants to know. Now Laban wants to know, why did you do this? And this is what caught my attention. This is where we're going today. Jacob thought he left Laban. He thought that story in his past was over. But Laban, a few days later, caught up. And when I was reading that, I said to myself, it's like the Lord was impressing in my heart that there's so many people that feel as though there's things in their past they thought they left behind. And there's times that you're good for a few days, a few months, maybe a few years, but there are some things in your life that relate to your past that somehow find their way back. And they seem to catch up with you again. And I started thinking about this and I said, man, I wonder how many people in our church have things in their lives, sins and emotions and people and habits that they thought they left behind, but they always seem to catch up. Can I get a witness today? Are there things in your life that seem to catch up and never leave you? I want to preach to you on this subject. The God on my side. Because it's hard to believe that God could be on your side when you're coming from such a hard past. It's hard to believe that God can be on your side when you look in your past and there's so many regrets and mistakes and things you should have known better and you did and you don't even know what you were thinking. And it's hard to believe that God is on your side because you know who you really are and the flaws that you have and the imperfections, and we tend to think that God is looking for perfect people. Therefore, how can God be on my side knowing what He knows about me and my past? And there's this fear that develops because of who we were, and we're not thinking of who we are now and who God is going to make us to be, because the devil is a real person and he wants you to be aware of your past, but your past does not define you. Your past is not what God is looking at right now. God says all things are new. And God has this amazing ability to forget. I love that about God. An all-knowing God has the ability to make Himself forget. Could it be that you're reminding God about things He forgot about? So when you're telling God about your past, God is saying, I have no idea what you're talking about, because when I forgive, it is gone. But you can't forgive yourself. So Laban, his attitude started changing towards Jacob. Because Laban was listening to the wrong members of the family. We all have the wrong members in our family. Can I just get away with saying that? And in their jealousy, they started saying, hey, Jacob's no good. Get away from him. And Laban loved Jacob, but if you hang around with the wrong family members long enough, they can change the way you think about a person. So the person you once loved and admired, all of a sudden you begin to see their flaws and you criticize them. You're saying, where is this coming from? You're listening to the wrong voice. And his attitude changed. And when his attitude changed, he drove Jacob away. See, I can't continue to preach without first telling you that if you have a bad attitude, your attitude will drive people away. And your attitude, whether it be negative, fault-finding, critical, will divide your family and will drive people that should be in your life away. So Jacob, hurt by Laban's attitude towards him, he gets up one night. Secretly, important that you get this, secretly, and he leaves. And Laban was hurt. Because in Laban's mind, he was innocent, because aren't we always innocent? And Laban didn't even think, could it have been something I did? Could it have been my attitude? We always tend to see only the wrong in others, but never in ourselves. And you don't like this, what I'm saying right now, because you know it's pressing the truth. Laban never said, maybe it was the way I spoke to him, maybe it was the way I treated him, maybe it was my attitude. He was mad towards Jacob. Laban was hurt. Because Jacob hurt Laban. And I wonder this morning, how many of you have been hurt by the selfish actions of others? Other people that you loved, other people you cared about, other people you took care of, other people you told your secrets to, other people that were by your side have hurt you. And it could be a church member, friends, family, neighbor, whoever. And right now today, you're suffering a broken heart because of someone in your life. But let me tell you what Psalm 147 verse 3 says. The Bible says that God heals. He heals the brokenhearted. He bandages their wounds. God heals broken hearts. God heals. God heals.
How many of you need some healing today? Because if there's anything you can think about when it comes to your past, is the people that have broken your heart. That word broken is a Hebrew word that means to break either by impact or pressure. Impact means all of a sudden. So right now you're thinking about a person in your past that did the unexpected, and all of a sudden that they just abandoned you, they left, they lied, they did something, and that's the impact. So right now there are people in this room that have been impacted in their past by someone in a negative way. That's you, say amen right now. But then there are some of you that have a broken heart in your past because of pressure. So there was so much going on you and so much pressure in your family, so much pressure with people that they began to press on you and you finally just broke. But see, the broken heart that God is talking about has nothing to do with a broken heart that suffers from a condition of something that happened. A broken heart that God is talking about, it's a broken heart that someone, a person, has broken. And all of us carry a burden of people in our past that have impacted us and put a lot of pressure, unwanted pressure, in our lives. And right now I know what you're thinking, Pastor, I needed this. I needed to be healed. Because there's a lot of people in my past that have impacted me negatively. There's a lot of people in my past that have put unnecessary pressure because of their choices. But can I turn this entire message around now? Can I? Let me? Say, I dare you. Say it, Pat. I dare you, Pastor. All right. Thank you. I wonder, like Jacob, how many people have we hurt in our past? No, Pastor, turn it around. Go back to me. Come on, Pastor, go back to my broken heart. No, we're not talking about that today. I wanted to talk about how many people have you impacted in a negative way because of your choices? Ouch. How many people have you put unnecessary pressure on because of your selfishness? Stop it, Pastor, it hurts. Can I preach this morning? Can I just get an honest, Holy Ghost, amen, if you know without a doubt your choices have hurt someone in the past. Amen. That wasn't all of you. So I have liars in the room. We've all hurt people from our actions. Like Jacob, we have selfishly made choices you're not proud of. And maybe, I get you, I know my church already. Well, Pastor, that was B.C. This is before Christ, I didn't know any better. And I can say that because, okay, Jacob lied to his dying father and he deceived his twin brother and stole and divided the family before he had an encounter with God. I get it. Genesis 28, he has this amazing encounter. He knows God is real. And that was only after he made all those mistakes. So we tend to just pat ourselves and said, listen, Pastor, I love you, but those people I hurt and those decisions I've made, they were before I knew better. So I guess I can say, okay, you're excused. You're like, whew. But he selfishly hurt Laban. And secretly, deceitfully, ran off and hurt Laban. So Genesis 28, God reveals himself, so now he knows God. But this happened in Genesis 31. So it shows me that sometimes I may know God, I may believe in Jesus, I may be a born-again, God-fearing, God-loving, Jesus-following man, but I still have a tendency to make a selfish, ungodly choice that can hurt people in my life. And don't tell me that's not you this morning. Because Jacob shows me that you can have an encounter with God and still have some of those character traits of your past still lingering around. The only difference is now you know better. And you're saying, well, Pastor, there's those things in my past that were part of me that still show up in my walk with Jesus. So you have your BC choices. So those BC choices means bad choices before Christ. So it's BC, BC. But I'm talking about a church that's real enough to say, I love God, I love Jesus. But there's some AD choices that I'm making right now that aren't glorifying God. I know better, but there's some things, Pastor, in my past that I still have inside me, my character. Because did you notice that verse 27 says that Jacob left secretly, deceitfully? Why did you slip away secretly? Why did you steal? What did Jacob do in Genesis 28? He did it in secret. He stole. He lied. He deceived. What did he do in Genesis 31 after he met God? He told a lie. He stole. He deceived. So it shows me that even though I'm walking with God, there are some sinful character traits that I still have in me that the Lord needs to deal with. So Jacob, he still has a little Jacob in him because the word Jacob means deceiver. So even though he knew God, he had old habits that really haven't died yet. He had those same little sins that are still around, those flaws that won't quit. And that could be you today. You're saying, God, I love you. I know you. You revealed yourself. I had a Genesis 28 experience. I met Jesus. But I know that I also have a Genesis 31 experience that I'm still having some character flaws that are hurting other people. So there's some habits that right now you have from your BC days. There's some flaws you still carry with you that won't quit. There's some sin that's still around. Can I just be honest with our church? There's some sins you're still pretty good at. Amen? Hit your neighbors. Oh, he's talking about you. Come on. There's some sin that you're still saying, man, I still got it. I shouldn't have it, but I still got it. And Jacob, Laban's just asking Jacob, why? Well, my name's Jacob. You should have known. Why? He wants to know. See, I'm wondering that same question. I said, Jacob, why? See, church, God revealed himself to Jacob, Genesis 28. God told him, hey, I have a plan for you. I'm going to protect you. I love you. But Jacob still has a character and he still feels a need to manipulate and lie and trick and steal to get what he wants. And maybe that's you today. You're saying, God, I trust you, but there's parts of me that live like I don't. And Laban wants to know why. Why did you slip away secretly? Why did you steal again? Like you didn't know, you didn't learn from your past. Why didn't you just say you wanted to leave? I would have given you a farewell feast. I would have made things better with singing and music accompanied by tambourines and harp. We would have had a goodbye party for you. It didn't have to be this way with all the strife and the anger and animosity. And I wonder today, Jacob says in verse 31, well, let me answer this for you. I rushed away because I was what? Afraid. You see what fear does? Let me connect this for you. Leave that verse there. Don't move it. Jacob's excuse? I'm afraid. What was Jacob so afraid of? What happened the last time? Now pay attention. Open your ears right now. It's going to change your life. What happened the last time Jacob lied, deceived, his brother went after him to kill him? But Jacob thought, my father-in-law is no different. And Jacob was so afraid because he was actually afraid of his past, not his present. And there are some of you here this morning that the greatest fear you carry has to do with yesterday and your past. And the greatest fear you carry is the choices you made then. And your past has a profound influence on you now because it's still making choices for you today. That's when you know you haven't gotten over your past, because if you can think about your past and it still has a say-so in your present, I'm sorry, you have not gotten over your past. If your past still affects your present, you have not felt the true forgiveness of God. If your past still influences your present, you are still living under shame and condemnation. And if your past is still affecting your present choices, you're calling God a liar. And you're saying, God, you have truly not forgotten this after I've confessed and asked you to forgive it. So Jacob has a fear, like many people today have, a fear of their past. A fear because of their past, you fear you're not good enough to God right now. A fear because of your past, you feel no one could ever love you. A fear because of your choices, you think God has to punish you today. There's such a heavy presence of fear in people's past that it's affecting their future because they're making bad choices today. Why is it that we can't get over what God has already been over? Your past. What were you thinking? I was afraid. And I thought. 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 You guys following me? No? Good. Okay. I was afraid. Fear, an emotion that transferred over to his thinking. And your thinking, the Bible says, as a man thinks, so he is. So, what I feel will ultimately determine what I think, and what I think will ultimately determine what I do. And if I need God to start changing what I'm doing, then therefore I have to stop thinking what I'm thinking so I can change what I'm feeling. One more time. So if I feel what I feel, I'm going to think what I think. And if I think what I think, I'm going to do what I'm doing. But if I'm doing what I'm doing and it's not working out, then therefore I have to change what I'm thinking. But to change what I'm thinking, I have to let God deal with what I'm feeling. You get it? Jacob answered it for us. Jacob, why did you do it? Well, great question, Laban. What were you thinking? How many times do you look at yourself in the mirror and say, what were you thinking? How many times did the devil say, what were you thinking? You're a Christian. You want to know the answer to that question you ask yourself? You were driven by your emotions and your thoughts. And if your emotions aren't aligned with the Word of God, your thoughts won't be. And if your thoughts aren't aligned with the Word of God, your actions definitely will never be. So here's the problem with you. You can't get over your past because you got to get over some thinking. You can't get over your past because I need to get over what I'm feeling. And that's why you're so ashamed of your past, because your thinking is producing the wrong feeling and your feeling is producing the wrong thinking. Want proof? Say, prove it! Say it with, motivate me! All right. I was reading the Bible recently, all the way back to Genesis. I don't know why I did that. Because there's a question I'm asking God lately. I said, God, I don't get something. The Bible says Adam and Eve were naked, and it was awesome. It doesn't say it like that. But it says, Adam and Eve were naked, and they felt no shame. You guys got that? Adam and Eve were naked, they felt no shame. So Adam and Eve were naked, they're like, whoo! No shame. And then when they sinned, the Bible says they looked at each other and they saw their nakedness and they were ashamed and ran from God. But see, what I'm asking God is, God, nothing changed. They were still naked before. What changed? The devil changed. They were thinking now, they were okay with being naked before sin, but after sin, the devil convinced them that being naked was a sin. And God didn't want that, and they had to run away from God. You see what happens, how the devil works? The devil just has to change your perception and your thinking in order to get you to run away and feel ashamed. The biggest problem you carry about the fear of your past is the shame that goes with it. Did you know that when Jesus was on the cross, he felt shame? Because he was carrying the sin, our sin, on him. And the Bible says, for the joy set before him, God, Jesus, endured the cross, despising the shame. And I said, wait a minute, you mean to tell me, while Jesus was on the cross with my sin, Jesus understands what it is to be ashamed? But the Bible says Jesus despised shame. That word despise in the Greek is a word that literally means to think away. So it means that when the devil saw the shame that Jesus had, the devil tried to get him to think wrong about the shame, but Jesus, being God, said, no, devil, I'm going to think your thoughts away. The problem while you're still fearing the past is because you don't despise your shame. You accept it. That's truth. But when you despise shame, you're saying, I'm going to think this thought away in alignment with the Word of God. Can I be honest here today? You need to handle your mind and your emotions. I say this with love. Some of you are out of your mind. Out of your mind. Pastor for 8 years, and I can't tell you how many times I've looked at somebody and said, what are they thinking? Can you imagine if you had a handle on your mind and emotions, how different you'd be as a person? Can we picture that right now? That you had a control on your mind and your emotions? It means that if you had a handle on your mind, the fear of your past wouldn't get you. If you had a handle on your mind and your emotions, there are certain choices you would never have made. That means that as I think, okay, wait a minute. If you had a handle on your mind and your emotions, maybe that means there are some divorces that would never have happened. Some affairs that would never have taken place. Some lies that would never have been told. Some jobs that you never would have quit. Some abortions you never would have had. Some drugs that would have never entered your body. Some families you never would have hurt and divided. There are so many choices that would never have been a choice had we had a handle on our minds and our emotions. Am I only speaking truth this morning? It's the honest to God truth. If we had a handle on our minds and our emotions, I would not have done what I would have done, because I would not have thought what I thought and felt what I felt. That's why God says, Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep in perfect what? Peace. All who trust in you and all whose, say it with me, thoughts are fixed on you. Where does peace come from? Thoughts. You need peace in your life? You want peace in your life? Peace is not something that occurs when the circumstance is fixed. Peace is not something you have when there's no problems. Peace is possible when your mind is right. Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. That's a whole other sermon. I'll get there one day. Let God transform you. Let God transform you. How many need some transforming in your life right now? He says, let God do it. I love this. Let God transform you into a what? Man, a new person. How many you wish you can just be a new person? By changing the way you what? Think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. You know what God says about having the right thoughts? Not only would it transform you, it will give you the ability to make the right choices, because you'll know what the will of God is. Some of you have made wrong choices thinking it was the will of God, but the truth is you were out of your mind. You just convinced yourself it's from God's will. 1 Peter 1:3, last one. So, think what? Clearly. And exercise what? Oh, that's a big word, isn't it? How many of you have a good control of yourself? Look around you, church. No one. A lot of you have no self-control. Maybe you have self-control. Maybe your record is 10 minutes. That's a record in Miami. 10 minutes. Today I went one day without cursing someone out. Today I went a whole week without doing that sin I hate. Man, I went 1 month without fighting with my spouse. Man, I did this for how long? You know, God's not saying. You know why? God doesn't want partial victory. He wants complete victory in your life. So God promises this. If you get your mind right, you'll have peace. You'll have self-control. And you'll be able to make right decision and know my will. And, bonus, you'll be a new person. So where's the problem? Jacob said it. It's in my mind. That's where all this fear of your past is coming from. Your mind. You're out of it. Let me close with this. You're here this morning, you're saying, Pastor, you mean to tell me right now, God is over my past? Well, I need to ask you a question first. Have you confessed it and sought His forgiveness? Have you repented from it? The answer is yes. The answer you want is yes, God has. What about you here today that's saying, Pastor, I'm dealing with the heaviness of my BCBC, my bad choices before Christ. But I'm also dealing with the sins that are still part of my old self. What do I do about that? I have no time to read it. But like one or two chapters after Laban, Jacob's by himself. You ever been so lonely that the only thing you have is your thoughts? I think that's when the devil does his most work. It's when you're alone. So Jacob, he's out in the desert. He's thinking about his life. He's thinking about his past. He's saying, man, I lied to my dying father. I betrayed my twin brother. I deceived, I stole. And when God gave me a chance and gave me a father-in-law and a great wife and a bonus with the other sister and I had a great family, I blew that because I also lied and deceived and stole. And God, if I don't stop doing this, I'm never going to be the person you want me to be. I need help. Because some of you still have that thing. And he said, man, if I can just stop this, God, I will be a new person. So he's by himself, and all of a sudden, God shows up in the form of Jesus and wrestles with Jacob. Because some of you, you want God to get rid of some habits easy, but God says, no, this time it's a fight. And I'm going to wrestle with you about some things. And the first question he asked, what's your name? Because Jacob, he said, I want to be blessed. Bless me. And he said, what's your name? What's it matter? Well, Jacob, if you want to be blessed and you want me to change you, you need to tell me who you really are, you liar. You deceiver. Who are you? See, in order for you to have a life-changing experience and get over your past and deal with God in the present, you have to be honest with God and say, Lord, you may not like it, but this is who I am. Get real with sin. And get real with God. So God can do something real in your life. We gotta stop this. Lord, forgive me. Knowing you're gonna go right back to it. Some of you, if you can just be who you are on Sunday, Monday through Saturday, your life would be so different. Because you're great on Sunday morning, but the devil loves you on Monday. I love what the story says here. Laban caught up. You ever feel like your sin just keeps catching up to you and your passion? Like, man, I thought I got rid of you. And your sin's like, I'm back. Man, I thought this was over. I wonder how many Labans you have in your life that keep catching up. How many sins, how many habits, how many issues, how many things in your past keep showing up in your present. Is it depression? You're saying, man, I thought I got rid of this depression, but it was only for a few weeks, a few months, and now my depression's back, and I need to go back to the medicine. Man, I thought I got rid of this lust, but man, I haven't, because clearly my eyes wandered today, and I went into this. And man, I thought I got rid of this selfishness. I thought I got rid of this attitude. I thought I got rid of this bad relationship, but why am I texting him again? I thought I got rid of this bitterness, but it seems to be catching back up. Because Jacob is displaying partial victory. I'm good for a few weeks, a few days, but then I'm back to being Jacob again. Is that you? God loves you. But you need a real encounter with him. Maybe again, because Jacob had an encounter with God, Genesis 28, but maybe you've had an encounter with Jesus. You're born again. You're saved. You love the Lord. But you say, Lord, I need that encounter I once had before. I miss you, God. I miss feeling you. So Jacob meets Laban. Laban, the past, shows up. And look at Laban, verse 29. Laban looks at Jacob and says, Jacob, I could destroy you. I said, whoa. It's not the way you say hello. But it's true. Laban had more men, more influence, more strength. Laban wasn't lying. Because you know what's hard about your past? The devil's not lying when he tells you about your past. It's true, it happened. Am I right? We think that Satan is a deceiver and everything out of his mouth is a lie. But no, everything out of his mouth may be the truth, but he lies about the outcome. If the devil would say today, you did this back in 1989, could you really say liar? No, you're like, yeah, I did that. You did this weekend. Yeah, I did. Man, you did this last month. And you're like, devil, you're right. See, Laban shows up and says, I could destroy you. I love that. Because Laban says, but God, the God of your father, appeared to me last night and he warned me. You better leave Jacob alone. You know God talks to your sin that way? You know God looks at your past that wants to come back after you, and he looks at your past and he says, you better leave my daughter alone. You better leave my child alone. Because I made a promise to him that I was going to finish what I started. I made a promise that I was going to bless him. I made a promise that I was going to make him into something great. And I know he's not perfect. I know he's a liar. I know he steals. I know I'm going to work on him. But if you think that his past is going to stop his destiny, you don't know God. Leave him alone. Could Laban have destroyed him? Yes. You know why your past hasn't destroyed you? Because God still has a plan for you. You know why you're still here in this church? Because God has a plan for you. You know why you're not dead and you should be? Because he loves you. And before you were in your mama's womb, he said, I know you. Boy, do I know you. And you're going to mess up. You're going to lie. You're going to steal. You're going to hurt. You're going to make some bad decisions. But I already have a plan. That's why it makes no sense when you think and feel that your choices of yesterday are going to affect today and tomorrow, because God already knew who you were going to become before you were even becoming in this world. And God says, you better leave him alone. You could destroy him, but you know why you're not? Because I'm not a liar. Verse 13. He says, Jacob, I have a plan for your life. I'm the God who appeared to you in Bethel. You know what Bethel is? Bethel is the Genesis 2018 experience where Jacob first met God. And it was there that God says, I'm that God who appeared to you. You know what God says to Jacob? Do you remember when I showed up in your life and I anointed you, and you anointed this pillar of stone and made your vow to me? Now get ready and leave this country and return to the land of your birth. You know what? No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, God is a man, a God of his word. And whatever he has promised, whatever he has declared, don't let the devil lie. Because of your BC, bad choices before Christ, or the choices you're making now, AD, after you even know better, convince you and make you think and feel that God is done with you. You may be here, you may not even know how you ended up in this church. You know why you're here today? Because you needed to hear this. Because God clearly has a plan for you. If not, you wouldn't be sitting in this chair today. He is the God on your side. Verse 42. He is the God of your side. In fact, Jacob answers Laban, if the God of my father had not been where? On my side. The God of Abraham, the fearsome God of Isaac, you would have sent me away empty-handed. But you know what he tells Laban? You're right, Laban. Oh, you're so right when you say you can destroy me. But you know why you can't? Because God's on my side. And God has seen your abuse and my hard work. And that's why he appeared to you last night and rebuked you. Can you imagine that the devil is talking to you like he's been lately and says, man, this is going to destroy you. You're worthless. You're good for nothing. You should know better. You know that you can look at your past that has you fearful, and you can tell your past and your sin, and you can tell that devil, you're right about who I was. You're right about who I am. You're right about everything you're saying. But you know why you can't touch me? Because God is on my side, and God is bigger than any choice I've made in the past. And God will still be any bigger than the choice I make today. And God will still even be bigger in the choices I make tomorrow. So with every head bowed and every eye closed today, you came into this church and you're saying, how does this pastor know? It's because God knows who you are. And you've come into this church ashamed, broken, feeling worthless. Some of you, it's so bad, you feel that God is punishing you right now. And that's why you're going through what you're going through. It's a punishment. God paid for your sins. It's not a punishment. You take your past as a life lesson, but not as the source of your identity. Whatever God has started in your life, God's going to finish. I don't care who you are, what you've done, what you will do. God has a way of wrestling with you and making the person he knows you are called to be. But don't let the devil lie to you one more day. Your past is your past, and it's very true. You did what you did, but what you did yesterday doesn't have to affect your today or tomorrow. So if you're here today, I challenge you and I dare you. You dared me first. I'll dare you back. If you're here today and you want to declare to the devil that God is on your side and you want to really get over your past, I want you to do me a big favor. But the favor is not for me. The favor is actually for yourself. I want you to stand up and in your mind and in prayer, you tell God who you really are. You stand up right now. You say, Pastor, I'm standing up and I'm preaching to God. I'm going to tell God right now who I am. God bless you. Come on, don't be afraid. Come on, we're in church right now. You stand up and you say, God, this is who I am. If God would ask you what he asked Jacob, who are you? What's your name? What were you going to tell him? God, I'm a liar. God, I'm an addict. God, I'm selfish. God, I'm critical. I'm negative. God, I'm depressed. God, I'm this. God, I'm that. And God's going to tell you that's who you think you are, but I know who you really are. Who you really are, whose God has declared you to be. It's inside you right now, underneath all that sin and shame and past. Whoever you are today, if you're listening online as well, I want you to stop doing what you're doing. And you declare right now with your mouth, God is on my side. God is on your side. We have men here today that are part of this mission because of their past and bad choices. God is on your side, man. We have people here that aren't a part of the mission. And you also have choices you're regretting, people you've hurt. All of us come, and what I love about this church is that all of us are coming from different walks of life, but we all carry the same burden. We all live with regret and shame and past and a feeling of unworthiness. But the reality is the same God that is on my side is a God that is on your side today. And I want you to leave this church fully with the awareness right now that God is going to wrestle with you about some sin. So don't you give up. You keep holding on because God is going to finish what He has started in your life. Whatever happens then, it's over in the name of Jesus, who despised the shame in doing the cross for you and I. So let's pray together. Would you grab today the hand of that person next to you? And the only reason I do this once in a while is to remind you that this is a church that is together and we all share the same pain. No one here is better than anyone else. And that hand you're holding is a reminder to you this morning, you're not alone in what you're going through. You stretch across the room. I want complete unity. You reach across the aisles. Come on, we're a church today. You reach across the aisle. You may not know who they are, but they're your family right now. And the devil has lied. Man, this church has a past. This church has gone through so much. But you know, I declare first in the name of Jesus, the thing that God started in Flora Fellowship, God's going to finish. And the devil can't touch us. Go ahead. Get us out of Hialeah. Put us in Wynwood. Put us anywhere. We're going to be a church no matter what. No matter what, I will preach the word of God as long as God will allow me to. And God is telling that devil, leave forward alone. And God is telling your sins, and He's telling your past, leave him alone. Because I am on his side, I am on her side, and I'm going to finish what I started. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, for every person that's carrying the past and the burden and the fear of that past in their life, for every bad choice, every regret, every selfish thing we did out of our wrong thinking and emotions, for every person we hurt, for everything we put in our body, for everything that came out of our mouth, for anything that came into our mouth, for anything that we saw, everything that we heard, the things that we have done, do not make us who we are. Only you make us who we are, Lord. And in Jesus' name, you heal the broken heart because you created that heart today that's broken. And I pray in the name of Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit, I bind the enemy in your mind that has convinced you of a lie that your past has determined who you are forever. And in Jesus' name, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And according to the word of God, what God has started, God will finish, because God works all things to his purpose. And right now this morning, Father, I pray for anyone who is carrying the guilt of their shame and their sin. Let them know that you already knew before they even did that, and you already had a plan for their life. And I bind the enemy in Jesus' name. May depression and bitterness and anger and guilt and shame and condemnation vanish by the power of the name of Jesus. Give them a shout of praise this morning if you're free today. Amen. And amen. Hey, I challenge you. Hey, why don't you give a hug to that person that you held right now? You hug them right now. We're a church. If you don't know them, introduce yourself right now. Let's all go around the room one time, one time. Just go around the room and say, I'm with you on this. I'm on your side too. God is on one side. I'm on the other. This is what the church is for. You're not alone. Amen. Can we give God praise one more time? This is a great service today.